May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, we've just heard in our reading. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words are used, of course, to communicate. And this reading reminds us that God wants to communicate with us. We use words to communicate, though we don't always do that very well. Sometimes we can use words carelessly, without much thought or personal engagement. We all know how easy it is to have several conversations at the same time, half talking to the person next to us and half talking to the person at the end of a phone, not being fully present to either person. At times, our words can become empty phrases with very little meaning, a quickly tossed out text message. The Word of God is different. When God speaks, something happens. God's Word is creative and life-giving. In the very beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It may not have taken 6 days, but rather millions of years, but God created all that there is through his creative word. As John puts it in his gospel, all things came into being through his word, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and that life is the light of all people. The word brings light and life. God didn't need to create the universe, but he wanted to communicate his life, his love, beyond himself. So he spoke the world into being. Our words don't have that creative, life-giving power. And in our own experience, we also know that sometimes words are not enough. Even when we use our words carefully to express love, solidarity, and gratitude, there are some situations that are beyond words. And we may then try to communicate through acts of kindness, through the touch of a hand, through a hug, when we're ill, going through a crisis, or have suffered some kind of tragedy, like Magdalena losing her sister in the shootings in Prague. Mere words cannot reach us. We need practical support, physical touch, and the steadfast presence of those who love us to be alongside us. All this can speak much louder than words. Sometimes when we are faced with the suffering of a loved one, or when we look at the suffering of our wider world, we may wonder, what does God's word say to us now? In the face of the terrible attacks in Israel by Hamas, the devastating destruction in Gaza and the utter misery of its people, the ongoing violence in Congo and South Sudan, the huge implications of the environmental crisis, we may wonder, what does God say? Well, it seems that words are not enough for God either. God doesn't only communicate through his messengers and prophets from a high and lonely distance. His word to us is not only found in a set of guidelines in a book or the teachings of the church. God communicates in a far more radical way than that. The startling message of Christmas is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God doesn't just send a message through a human being, but his Word becomes a human being. God wants to communicate with us and has found the most effective way possible to express himself by coming himself as a human being to live amongst us. In this particular man, Jesus, we can see all the fullness of God. We can see God's nature. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. the Word made flesh. For many people in the ancient world, and for perhaps many people today, this is a very shocking message. Surely what we need is a spiritual tonic, techniques to liberate our souls from the messiness of flesh and blood. Flesh can represent sickness, frailty, weakness, and suffering. Yet, the Word became flesh. The Christian message isn't that God whisks us away into a painless, perfect spiritual realm, though we may sometimes wish that, and I wish that quite a lot in these last few weeks. But rather, he comes into the world of flesh and blood, suffering and death. Some of you here may have seen the Star Wars films. Put your hands up if you've seen the Star Wars films. Good, I'm glad some people have. Good. Well, we have very fond memories of watching the films over the years many, many times with our two boys. One thing that's very important in the Star Wars films is, of course, the Force, the power which the Jedi warriors seek to use for good or for evil. When the original films came out in the 70s and 80s, some people started saying to one another, "May the Force be with you." And a number of people filling in census forms put under the section religion, Jedi. There was something attractive about the idea of the Force and the special powers this gave to the Jedi warriors. Now, those of you who know your Star Wars, I'm looking at this front row here, will especially remember the little green alien, Yoda, who is the wisest and the most senior of all the Jedi. Yoda tells Luke Skywalker, when he's training him, "Luminous beings we are, not this crude matter. Luminous beings we are, not this crude matter." The aim of Luke's training is to learn to escape the restrictions of the body and learn supernatural powers. Flesh, this crude matter, is seen as a negative thing we need to escape. Many people, in fact, and not only those with an interest in Star Wars, may have a view of God as an impersonal force in the universe. But the Christian view of God is rather different. God is a personal being involved in the messiness of flesh and blood. Many people, including ourselves perhaps at times, may find this rather difficult. Yes, the holy, majestic, glorious God can send messages, can send light or life, can work as a force in the world. But surely he cannot come among us as a person. Yet this is what Christians believe. The Word became flesh. The Word became a human being. The Christian gospel isn't that we need to find our way to God, but that he makes his way to us. The initiative is all God's. The holy, awesome God comes to us in a vulnerable baby, born in grimy poverty, to refugee parents in the Middle East. Perhaps that may seem rather familiar. He grows up to know pain and suffering, joy and friendship, betrayal and isolation, torture and death. God doesn't come as a cute little baby at Christmas time and then disappear again. The whole ministry of Jesus, his torture, death on the cross, his resurrection, are all actions of God himself in our world. God comes as one of us, longing for us to respond to his love. God is not distant and uncaring, or even a detached force for good. He is in the midst of us, in the complexities and struggles, joys and sorrows of human life. God is involved. He doesn't just speak a word, but comes to us himself. And this is the God we believe in as Christians, and we follow as Christians. So we too are to be involved, to get our hands dirty, to show kindness and practical help to those in need, open as we do so to God's grace around us and within us. Can we be open to the Word made flesh living among us? Of course, in Jesus' earthly ministry, some people responded to him and some people didn't. As John says in our reading, he came to what was his own and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. This is the purpose of God's coming among us, of God sending his Son into the world, that we too might know the love of the Father and live as his children. In the beginning was the Word. God wants to communicate with us and has chosen the most intimate, the most effective way possible to communicate with us as a human being, the Word made flesh. We have heard God, we have seen God as he is in Christ. The Word has spoken. Are we listening? More than that, the Word has come in the flesh to live among us. Will we welcome him?